This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Yes, yeah, if you're listening, you may hear the applause in the background. That is not our team here. That's not my staff. They're the actual ones in the back booing. No, that's we are broadcasting live from FRC Spring Faith and Family Summit, a gathering of our key supporters and partners from across the country. And we're actually, you're going to be hearing from them because in a little bit they're going to ask some questions along with your calls, as you call in a little bit later when we open up the phones on this open line Friday. But first, we got a few things to talk about. The hypocrisy of big business has been on display this week as some of the nation's largest corporations, like PayPal, have denounced North Carolina for overturning a law that would have forced businesses and other public facilities to adopt policies that would allow men to use women's restrooms and locker rooms. As it turns out, big business's political posturing is inconsistent with their own policies. We'll talk about that with Fox News' Todd Starnes here in just a moment. Also, ISIS is on the march again. Their terror continues, this time in Syria, where they have reportedly killed 175 factory workers. House Intelligence Committee member Mike Pompeo of Kansas is here on that story. And speaking of ISIS, the persecution of Christians, according to Open Doors USA, is at an all-time high. On April 17th, FRC, joining with some of our partners, is encouraging churches to take a few moments to stand with the persecuted. As Christians here in America, we still have our freedom of religion, our freedom to speak out, and we have an obligation, I believe, to use that freedom to stand with our brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted, driven from their homes, and literally killed for nothing more than being followers of Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that with the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, my good friend Dr. Ronnie Floyd, a little bit later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com, if you'd like to find out more about today's program, the topics we're covering. Also, you can sign up for my daily update and our email alerts. All that can be found at TonyPerkins.com. Also, we have resources, talk more about this later, but resources for Sunday, April the 17th, Stand with the Persecuted. If you're on Twitter, you can keep up with me, at T. Perkins. Again, on Twitter, it's at T. Perkins. All right, religious liberty continues to be under attack here in America. We've seen specifically in these last 2 weeks, states like North Carolina, Mississippi, and their efforts to protect their constituents, their freedom to believe, their freedom to security. Well, this week, we've been talking quite a bit about this and the hypocrisy of big business in their threats to not do business or not to expand business in these specific states. In particular, PayPal, that has said they're not going to expand in North Carolina because of North Carolina's discrimination. Well, as it turns out, there's a bit of hypocrisy on behalf of these big corporations. Joining me now to talk about that is one of the men who has helped expose that is our good friend Fox News' Todd Starnes. Todd, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, great to be here, Tony. And I don't want to alarm you, but you realize there are people watching us right now.
I see that. They're looking very intent.
Good-looking crowd, though.
It is.
Pretty attractive crowd.
And I kind of like this. I'd like that. You guys want to travel with me, and we'll just do this every day? All right. It's actually better than the canned clapping that I use. You know, I can't get past that those golf claps.
Yeah, I was wondering. I kind of felt like the Shekinah glory of the Lord when I came off of Amtrak, and this is the reason why.
So, that's it. You're feeling it. The whole atmosphere in the city has changed this week. Hey, let's talk about, you wrote about this week, and it's the hypocrisy of big business, 120 corporations weighing in North Carolina in particular. And folks, just so I can set the stage once again, if you haven't listened this week, HB 2, a bill that the legislature there in North Carolina passed, overturning a law, an ordinance in Charlotte that would have required, not made it optional, required all facilities in public places to be opened to anyone of any sex, meaning that men could go into a women's restroom where little girls are there. And so the state legislature, out of concern for safety, overturned that ordinance.
And now you have businesses across the country posturing. But as it turns out, there's some hypocrisy here.
Well, that's right, Tony. In my column at FoxNews.com, we discovered that a number of those businesses that were actually pressuring North Carolina, threatening to pull their business, or in PayPal's case, actually removing their business and saying they're going to shut down that operation center, we discovered that most of those organizations are currently doing business and they're making money in countries that have draconian laws persecuting the LGBT community, including companies, for example, like Disney. And we tell the story in my column that Disney actually put on the Disney on Ice show, as well as Beauty and the Beast, in Dubai. And right now in Dubai, it is a criminal offense punishable by death to be gay in that country, in the United Arab Emirates. So there is quite a bit of hypocrisy. Tony, just a few moments ago, before we came on the air, I received a bit of news. Bruce Springsteen has announced that he's canceling a concert in North Carolina as a result of North Carolina's governor's decision on this law.
Again, the hypocrisy is beyond belief. You see, like Cuba, doing business in Cuba, where freedoms are restricted, but they have no problem with that, but yet they're calling out North Carolina for simply wanting to protect women and children.
And we have no scientific evidence yet, no concrete evidence, but thousands of people who are commenting on my column and also on our Facebook pages and social networking sites say they are canceling their PayPal accounts. I've been on PayPal's Facebook page, and it's overwhelming. People are just incredibly outraged at what PayPal has done here.
Well, and for those on the left who troll the internet and were trying to make an issue that FRC actually was connected with PayPal, that was a way that we received donations from our constituents, I invite you to go back to our website today, and you will find that PayPal is gone. We'll no longer be promoting the use of PayPal. We'll be finding another source. You know, I want to talk about something else here. As a former elected official, and I've talked about this on the program this week, but it's a significant issue that I think people are missing. And that is, when you look at how business environments have been created that have been positive for business growth, North Carolina is a state that businesses want to go to because they've had elected officials who have created favorable tax policies. They have tried to minimize regulation. And who is it that has done that? It's not Democrats. It's conservatives who are trying to attract business in, but they cannot separate their conservatism in terms of fiscal policy and social policy. And now what you have is business is hammering the very people that created an environment that allows them to be profitable.
And Tony, a couple of key points about this North Carolina law. One thing, it is not a religious liberty bill or
Correct.
Law. That has been distorted by those in the mainstream media and those on the left, but it has nothing to do with that. And as a matter of fact, what the law does, it doesn't do anything. It's business as usual. The state was saying that the city of Charlotte does not have the right to come in and tell businesses what they can and cannot do. If PayPal wants to go into that operation center and make all the restrooms for whatever gender, that's their right as a company under the North Carolina law.
But PayPal doesn't have those type of policies for their restrooms. Another case of hypocrisy.
And we know that because I obtained photographs of the bathrooms there at corporate headquarters in PayPal for men and women. Sweet mercy, Tony.
Well, let me give another example of the hypocrisy as the hypocrisy indicator was going off. Yesterday in the United States Senate, there was a vote on a bill from New York Senator Chuck Schumer. And it was a bill that would have required the FAA to force airlines to enlarge the seats on airplanes. Now, that's I think that's consistent with the fat cats in the Democratic Party. The seats are a little small, but it failed on party lines. Now, American Airlines was against that bill. Now, I don't understand it. Why is it they're against politicians telling them that their airline seats need to be certain sizes, but they're not against politicians telling them which bathroom seats people have to use?
And Tony, a step further, Apple. Boy, they got really upset when the government tried to come in and tell them what to do with their business just a few weeks ago, didn't they, with the San Bernardino terrorist attack, and the government needed access to this iPhone. And Apple said, no, you can't tell us what to do. And yet Apple is one of those companies that's now telling the state of North Carolina, you know, you've got to conform to the LGBT agenda. So again, we're going to keep exposing this hypocrisy. We're going to keep calling these companies like Disney and PayPal, and we're going to ask them, why is it they're going after states like North Carolina and Mississippi and Georgia and all these other states, when in fact they're doing business in countries, making money in countries that are persecuting the LGBT community?
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Friday afternoon. My guest, Todd Starnes from Fox News. We are broadcasting live from our spring event here in Washington, D.C., downtown Washington, D.C., just a little ways from the White House. Yes, not too far from the White House, but not in the White House. And we have a number of guests still to come. Dr. Ronnie Floyd will be joining us, as well as Congressman Mike Pompeo. Let me encourage you, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about all of today's topics. Todd, I want to shift gears for just a little bit. As we talk about the hypocrisy of corporate America, I want to shift now to the broader issue, because this was not about religious liberty. This was simply about, it was a Public Safety Act that prompted North Carolina to take these actions. But let's talk about the issue of religious freedom in America. That's been the theme of our gathering here with our key partners, is this increasing threat to religious liberty in America. It's something you've written about.
That's right. My last book, Godless America, was an exploration of this issue and really compiling all the evidence together that I believe demands a verdict, that something has been happening. There has been this shift in our country. My opening line of the book is, I sort of feel like a Duck Dynasty guy living in a Miley Cyrus world, you know, where right is wrong and wrong is right. You know, our values are turned upside down. I have a new book coming out later this summer called Silencing the Lambs, How Truth Has Become the New Hate Speech. And not only are we going to look at some of these issues, but we're going to look at what Christians can do to mobilize and what they can do to stand up for their faith in this very, very dangerous culture.
I mean, we have seen a steady drumbeat of hostility and opposition to religious freedom in the last 7 years. Is this something that can be turned around?
Well, I certainly think so. And I think, you know, and again, there are those moments when people of faith have taken a stand and lawmakers have taken a stand. For example, North Carolina's governor,
he
stood with the people. Mississippi's governor,
Phil Bryan,
standing with the people. And yet there are those governors like Nathan Deal of Georgia who turned his back on the people of Georgia and basically declared open season on pastors and faith-based businesses and organizations in his state. So it's going to be a challenge, but I think if people stand together and firmly stand together with one voice, I think that change can be facilitated. I think we can turn it around.
I would say it can, and I would also say it must, if we're to save this country.
Tony, I think you're absolutely right. I think we are at that, Franklin Graham called it the moral tipping point. And I think that we are at that point in our country, and that's one of the reasons why I'm grateful for groups like Family Research Council, organizations that are out there on the front lines and letting people know, informing them and educating about what's happening in their country.
All right, Todd Starnes, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, folks, that's Todd Starnes with FoxNews.com. To read his piece, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. And also, let me encourage you to contact your state officials, your federal officials, those who stand up and defend our first freedom. Encourage them. Say thank you. Let them know that you're with them. All right, when we come back, Congressman Mike Pompeo of Kansas joins us to talk about ISIS and their latest act of terror. Don't go away. We're right back after this.
Are you prepared to stand for real change? Mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit on September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. Join thousands of like-minded Americans who envision a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers at the Values Voter Summit have included Senators Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, House Speaker Paul Ryan, Governor Mike Huckabee, Laura Ingraham, Kirk Cameron, Dr. Ben Carson, Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Ollie North, Mark Levin, and many others. In addition, there will be ample opportunity to network and meet with organizations and attendees that share a Christian worldview and to discuss important issues like religious liberty, the sanctity of life, natural marriage, national security, government overreach, and more. On September 9th through 11th, stand with us and fight for the renewal of this great nation. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information and to watch last year's event. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Did you know there's an approved healthcare choice just for Christians that's founded on the timeless principles in God's Word? It's not insurance. It's MediShare. Over 189,000 believers across America who love God and share each other's healthcare bills. It's about half the cost of health insurance, and you never pay for medical practices that go against your Christian beliefs. Best of all, the healthcare law includes a special provision for MediShare members, so you don't have to buy insurance or face penalties. MediShare is affordable healthcare without compromise.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
5 years ago, God saved my life. I was in an abusive relationship, and I had been beaten unimaginably, and I escaped only because God helped me escape. It was incredible pain, both emotionally and physically, that I every day thank God that He's making me stronger every single day to get through that. And the way that He does that is by the fact that I go to church, I have a wonderful church, and then also listening to AFR. And I just wanted to tell you guys that because you're doing an amazing job, and I hope that God blesses this station to stay on the air for many, many, many years to come, so that other people can be blessed the same way that I have been over the past 5 years.
You can hear more stories of changed lives during our three-day Share-a-thon starting April 12th. American Family Radio, 25 years on the battlefront for your family.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for being with us on this Friday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com, if you're on Twitter, at T. Perkins. As I mentioned earlier at the program, we are broadcasting live from our spring event here in downtown Washington, D.C., with some of our key partners that have gathered from across the country for our Faith and Family Summit here in Washington, D.C. So we welcome you to our city of Washington, D.C., and you have changed the climate here with your presence, and we're glad that you're here. All right, the Islamic State, or the JV team, as the president likes to refer to them, is at it again. It was reported today that ISIS has reportedly killed 175 cement factory workers who were captured northeast of Damascus. Now, we've been following the reign of terror of ISIS, and this week we've actually been talking almost every day on something related to national security, whether it's Russia and their growing threat that they pose to this country. Their excess of military armament, in fact, as we were talking earlier in the week with the member of Congress about the START treaty, the new treaty that was negotiated with Russia between the Obama administration that takes effect in February of 2018, they have already exceeded the number of nuclear missiles that they are supposed to have, or that they're allowed to have. While the United States is drawing down on its armament, Russia is expanding it. And it appears that we're seeing the return of the evil empire. Well, joining us to talk about this is a member of the House Intelligence Committee. He represents the 4th Congressional District of Kansas, Congressman Mike Pompeo. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's great to be with you today, and I regret I'm not there for the Faith and Family Summit in Washington. Sounds like you all are having a wonderfully productive time.
Well, we're having a great time, but you're back in Kansas, so I'm sure that's just as well.
It's always great to be out.
It's always great to be out of Washington, D.C., right? Yeah, I got that. Let's talk about what do we know about what has occurred in Syria with ISIS in this latest attack?
So there are conflicting reports. It's very clear that these folks have been captured and held There are conflicting reports about their status. We can only pray that they have not, as been reported, been killed by ISIS. So with respect to this particular incident, there's still more to learn. But we know ISIS has executed hundreds and hundreds of people. We know that they are committing genocide against Christians. The enormity, the staggering impact, not only of the killing, but of the millions who have been displaced by radical Islamic terrorism there in Iraq and Syria, is so deeply at odds with what it is the United States could have prevented, that there's just a ton more work to do for the United States to put back in place a structure that can prevent this kind of thing from happening in the future.
Given that the State Department has finally come to the point where they have declared that what is occurring in the Middle East at the hands of ISIS is genocide, what do we see as the next steps from this administration? Now, of course, we don't know who these 175 were and what the other than just their natural evil. We don't know if it was motivated by faith. So I'm not suggesting that at this point. But in general, as we now have the administration coming along on this issue of genocide, what can we see next in order to see a curbing of the reign of terror of ISIS?
Attorney, you've asked exactly the right question, and unfortunately I expect from this administration for its remaining 8 months in power, we'll see an insufficient response to the threat. We need a strategy not only to defeat ISIS, but Al-Qaeda, that is there in the Middle East as well, or al-Sham. We need to rid Syria of Assad, who's also slaughtering his own with chemical weapons. We need a comprehensive strategy to engage and defeat this terrorism to keep Americans safe and the West safe. And this president, sadly, has declined to put a serious plan forward on how to accomplish that. It can be done. The next president will, I am convinced, put a plan in place that will do just that.
Well, when you mentioned the next president is going to inherit a very dangerous world. I mean, there's no question of what's happening in the Middle East. The Middle East is imploding. But Russia has rebuilt. In fact, I mentioned this before I introduced you about Russia, the New START treaty in which Russia is supposed to be drawing down on their missile, nuclear missile program, or actually adding to it. They've exceeded the number. Now, it doesn't take effect. I understand that until February of 2018. But as a member of the House Intelligence Committee, how concerned are you about what you see happening in Russia today?
Very concerned, Tony. This president welcomed, essentially, Vladimir Putin into Syria, and now he's supposedly withdrawn, but you can see that this conflict is far from stabilized, and the Russians, while they flew a few airplanes out, is still there. They took a fifth of Ukraine with no Western response, no response from the West. Vladimir Putin believes that he has the upper hand on the United States because our president has refused to push back against him and make clear there are lines which shall not be crossed. So I'm very worried about their continued missile program. I'm worried about their military buildup as well. It's just going to take that next leader who's going to have his hands full all across the globe to begin to reassert American power. That's diplomatic. That is certainly political and military as well.
Well, when you see how Russia has, I know the treaty hasn't taken effect yet, but I doubt very seriously that they're going to be building up their arsenal only to mothball these nuclear missiles after February of 2018. I mean, they're investing, they don't have a strong economy, and they're investing a lot of their resources in expanding their military presence. And given this administration, I think they're taking their, Russia's taking their cues that America's not going to keep them in check.
Oh, there's no doubt about that, and you're quite right, too. The likelihood that Russia would reverse itself from this position come the time that this that START goes into effect seems ludicrously low. Add to that, they are selling weapons all across the world to our enemy, to Iran. They've done huge arms deals with them. They are a power that believes that they are growing in influence. They're receiving no pushback. They know that window is closed. That is, there will be a new president before too long, and so they're using this opportunity to expand their power and influence all across the globe. That is not good for America.
Congressman Mike Pompeo, thanks so much for joining us on this Friday afternoon.
Thank you very much, Tony. Have a blessed weekend.
All right, you do the same. Congressman Mike Pompeo of Kansas, he represents the 4th Congressional District. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. He's one of those guys, I would tell you, just send him a note and thank him for his steadfastness here on Capitol Hill. All right, when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation about the persecution of Christians. It has reached historic proportions, according to Open Doors USA. We're going to be talking about that with my good friend, Dr. Ronnie Floyd, president of the Southern Baptist Convention, when we return here to this live edition of Washington Watch from the Faith and Family Summit here in Washington, D.C. Don't go away. We're right back with more after this.
Making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
One of the things that I said I was going to be watching was consumer credit. Consumer credit climbs 5.8% for the month of February. Not only that, but it increased for the month of January as well. Well, here's the thing. This is very good for the economy. The question is it good for the family? Now, of course, the governments and the Fed and all of those that desperately need consumers to get in debt would somehow paint a very good picture of this because, in fact, it is good for the economy. This is the reason why the Fed made every attempt possible, starting in 2009, to create a wealth effect. See, during a wealth effect, what happens is you all feel good. The market's going up. Now, the economy's not getting better, but the market is going up. And it makes you see your 401ks, your IRAs, things going up. And it's a psychological effect called the wealth effect that makes you feel good and feel better, like things are really better. Then you start getting into debt, spending money, and the economy actually does begin to turn around. And this has usually worked after a number of recessions. It hasn't worked this time, except, very interesting, because we have seen consumer credit go up for the last 12 months, this time up $17.2 billion. This doesn't include mortgages, by the way. This is just revolving credit and student loans. So up dramatically, the question is, will this start trickling through the economy? It hasn't yet, because really the economy hasn't improved much as a result of consumer spending. So this is a good news, bad news. Bad news for families. I hope nobody listening to this program is getting into debt, but nonetheless, good news for the economy.
God's not dead, he's surely alive. He's living on the inside, roaring like
a
lion.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad you're with us on this Friday afternoon. We are broadcasting live from our spring gathering of our partners here at the Faith and Family Summit in downtown Washington, D.C., and glad to have you along. In a little bit, we're going to open up the phone lines. Open line Friday. Want to hear from you. We're also going to hear from our guest here at the Faith and Family Summit. But first, Christians continue to be persecuted across the world at unprecedented levels. We were just talking about, with Congressman Mike Pompeo, what's happening in the Middle East. But according to Open Doors USA, their report from last year, persecution of the church is unprecedented. Now, that's hard to believe when you think of the 2,000 years and all that has occurred at the church at the beginning and now, but we are seeing it rampant. And the New Testament makes very clear, we have a responsibility to stand with our brothers and sisters in Christ who are facing persecution. Paul talked about that. And to bring greater awareness to this responsibility, FRC is sponsoring Stand with the Persecuted Sunday on April the 17th. You can find out more about that by going to the website, tonyperkins.com, and downloading the resources that we have there for you. But joining me now to highlight this Stand with the Persecuted is the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. He is the senior pastor of Cross Church in Arkansas. He's my good friend, Dr. Ronnie Floyd. Ronnie, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. As always, good to be with you.
Well, we're glad to have you here at this event and appreciate your leadership on this issue. I think you clearly understand the responsibility as the head of the largest Protestant denomination in the United States that we have an obligation to speak up for our brothers and sisters in Christ in faraway places who are suffering for their faith.
Tony, if we believe in the dignity of human life from the womb to the tomb, persecuting the church or anyone else is not of God. And if the church does not stand, we don't stand for our brothers and sisters that are paying the price internationally as well as nationally. Mm-hmm. But internationally is a whole different issue than who in the world can stand. And so we've been very committed. Even I mobilized the former presidents of the Southern Baptist Convention to join me on a letter to President Obama back over a year ago, asking him to do everything possible to see that this whole unfairness and inequity comes to an end in the Middle East.
In court, even the United Nations in their Declaration of Human Rights in 1948 make clear that religious freedom, the freedom to choose a religion, not to choose a religion, change a religion, is a human right. It is not just an American right, it is a human right.
That's right.
But America plays a key role in fostering an environment in which freedom of all sorts prosper around the world. And you made you mentioned about how we have to stand up to persecution here at home. I would say that there's a clear correlation, and I talk about this frequently, but the growing hostility toward religious freedom here at home in our own country, when we tolerate that, I think that sends a message to the tyrants and the terrorists in faraway places that religious persecution is okay, that America no longer makes it a top priority.
There is no question about that. And that's why all of us who are listening today need to do everything we can to keep the church in America involved in the issue, as well as anyone else that are members of Congress, calling upon them, along with the leaders of our nation, to make sure that that freedom exists right here in the United States. I mean, think about what is on the front page of the newspaper, the New York Times today. Boko Haram, the feature article,
right,
is pretty powerful. The first three paragraphs of that are absolutely brutal.
Right.
And what is communicated relating to what is happening in that part of Africa. I mean, that is absolutely unacceptable. And if we're going to stand for human life while babies are in the wombs of moms, then we need to stand for human life around the world as well.
Absolutely, without question. And that's why we're doing this. I know you're participating in it. Stand with the Persecuted Sunday, April the 17th. Pastors, or if you're not a pastor, take it to your pastor.
Absolutely.
We're only asking for a few minutes, and this is what it entails. We've got some resources available for you, a short video that can help set the stage for your people to understand what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. It's only about 2 minutes long. But then also, we're calling on churches just to pray. Take a few minutes on your Sunday morning service, mm-hmm, and pray for our brothers and sisters. And then consider supporting ministries like Open Doors USA, Voice of the Martyrs, and others that are actually hands-on, working with the persecuted in those various countries. And then also, as you said, speak out here at home for this fundamental freedom of religion.
Every Sunday, pastors in America have usually a focused time of prayer. And one of the things that we will do on that Sunday is to focus on all of our campuses, make that the focal point. Today, we're going to stand with the persecuted church in prayer. And we will call upon our people to really engage for that. We have found that every time we share the vision of that and we talk about that with our people, they really like that, mm-hmm, because it shows that we in America are not being selfish. The church, right, is not being selfish. It's not about us, but it's about our brothers and sisters around the world. And it's a great opportunity to educate the people as well.
And I have heard, as we have worked on this issue now for a number of years, when the word gets back to those countries, mm-hmm, to those Christians, that America cares, that the church is standing up, they take encouragement and they can continue in their stand for Jesus Christ. Dr. Ronnie Floyd, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Tony. Blessings.
All right, folks, that's April the 17th. Stand with the persecuted. To find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. Follow the links over, download the resources, and join with churches across America. All right, when we come back, we're going to the phone lines, 866-372-7234. Open line Friday here on Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Don't go away. We're right back after this.
The hallowed grounds of the Arlington National Cemetery. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We will visit the Arlington National Cemetery. We'll see the burial site of John F. Kennedy, the Arlington House, which is the home of Robert E. Lee, and also the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. That's just one stop on one day. So much to see in our nation's capital on our spiritual heritage tour in June, and then the other one in September. In addition, we'll be going to Mount Vernon. Also, a tour of Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown will precede our trip to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon. For all the information on these tours, just go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com or call for a free brochure, 800-FAMILIES, option 5.
What are students saying about Wesley Biblical Seminary? Here's Daphne Armstrong.
I chose WBS because of the biblical teaching that I knew I would receive. My relationship with God has gotten so strong. I'm really, truly depending on Him, and it's completely changed my way of thinking.
I'm John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Come and be a part of our community.
Apply today at wbs.edu. Wesley Biblical Seminary. Discover the difference.
Come to 1MillionDads.com. Be strengthened as a Christian leader for your wife and children, your church, your community. We believe that missing fathers is what's wrong with this country. No longer should men be weak or ineffective. 1MillionDads.com is where we can learn and grow together as men of the cross. 1MillionDads.com. Lead, or others will.
Last 2 years, I've been working with the voting commission, trying to make sure that people that vote are legally registered, and that's directly attributed to some of the encouragement I get from AFR.
This is Kathy in Sumter, Oregon. I listen to American Family on a daily basis. I listen to Dr. Dobson in AFA Today, and I get so filled with accurate news from a Christian standpoint, and it just keeps me up to date. Then Dr. Jeremiah and Brian Fisher, and you all do such a wonderful job at keeping everyone abreast of what is happening in our world. Love you all. Bye.
You can hear more stories of changed lives during our 3-day Share-a-thon starting April 12th. American Family Radio, 25 years on the battlefront for your family.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Friday afternoon. Yes, it's Friday. I hope you're making plans now for a great weekend. And I hope that the weekend plans include church on Sunday morning or sometime during the weekend. We are broadcasting live from our spring event with some of our key partners. That's our Faith and Family Summit here in Washington, D.C. And so I'm going to be taking phone calls, and we're going to be taking questions from our audience here. They're live. I think everybody here is alive. When I walked in, they were. So, yeah, we got a live audience here at our Faith and Family Summit. The phone number, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. On Twitter, at T. Perkins, you can tweet in. We'll be monitoring those questions as well. And we're going to go to the microphone here, live from the Faith and Family Summit. You're up.
Ken from Newtown, Connecticut.
All right, Ken, what's your question?
Does or can FRC provide on their website a list of the corporations that are penalizing North Carolina for its public safety legislation and provide the contact information of these corporations so that we can write them and ask them to rescind their decision to penalize North Carolina?
All right, Ken, that is a great question, and the answer is yes. It just depends on how long it's going to take me to get it up there, but yes, we can. There is about 120 corporations like Disney. We've mentioned some of them, PayPal. Some have taken more aggressive postures than others. But yes, we can get that information up there so that you can communicate with them. I'll also check. We'll check to see. In fact, before we sign off here, I'll see if Second Vote, one of our partners that we often have on the program that tracks the activities of corporate America and actually grades them. It's a great tool to use. It's, in fact, there's an app. You can download it. Second Vote, if you've got a smartphone or a phone that's not so smart, you can still probably get it. Second Vote, And that will, that grades these companies on these types of policies that they have. And I'll tell you, we use it. Our family uses it. And we believe it's a stewardship issue, that we spend our money with those who are not hostile to our values. Now, I'm not looking for corporate America to weigh in and fight the cultural or the spiritual battles of the church. I'm just looking for them to do business. You know, I just want them to make a nice loaf of bread. I don't want them to beat me over the head with their propaganda or gain, try to get the other side to gain an advantage. So, yes, we will work on that, Ken, see if we can get that list up there. And we'll also check to see if Second Vote has that information available. 866-372-7234, the number to call. You're listening to Washington Watch. And we're going to go to Arkansas, where Dawana is on the line. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, thanks. My question is, I don't really know how some of this works, but I had wondered, you know, a lot of the governors have signed something saying they do not want the Syrian refugees depositing their states and when they're not vetted and everything. And I was wondering if there's anything besides, you know, that they can do to put teeth to it. Like, could they use the National Guard or their state, I don't know if there's a state force or anything, that if they have passed something that says that they don't want that, that they're not a dumping ground for that?
Actually, there have been several states that have pushed back on this, but it's a little more complicated in that the federal government has certain jurisdictions in the way that they're bringing in and settling these Syrian refugees using federal dollars outside of the authority of the states. And I know Texas has pushed back on it, Louisiana has pushed back, several states have pushed back on this. And quite frankly, I don't know where some of these stand. I know some of them are in the courts, but this administration, really, it doesn't matter what the law says. It doesn't matter what the policy says. It doesn't matter what the states say. They're going to do whatever they want. Fortunately, we have seen some state leaders that have stood up to this administration. We saw some of them stand up to them on Obamacare. We have seen some stand up on immigration. But I tell you what I'll do next week is we'll get one of those state leaders on it and find the status out on that, and we'll talk with them and try to get one of the officials, either the attorney general or the governor from Texas on, and we'll talk about that next week. Dawana, thanks so much for listening and calling in to Washington Watch. 866-372-7234, the number to call to get in on the conversation this afternoon. On Twitter, it's at T. Perkins. And a Second Vote, just checking out, Second Vote has several posts this week on these businesses, but it's not comprehensive. So we'll work on getting that list, Ken, and for others up on our website probably the first part of the week. We'll work on that over the weekend. I'll have my team working over the weekend, and Ken, I'll have them call you if they have any questions. 866-372-7234, but we're going to go right here to the microphone in our Faith and Family Summit here in Washington, D.C.
I'm Lori from Findlay, Ohio, and as you mentioned, we're gathered here as investors in the mission that you're accomplishing and all the powerful ways that you're impacting our culture. And if anyone who's listening wants to get in on this and become a partner with you, I'll ask you if I could write a check for $1 million. And before you get too excited, I cannot. But I would.
You can write it. You just
well,
can't.
Yes, I won't sign it. But if I could give you $1 million today, what kinds of things would you hope to accomplish with it?
It's a great question, Lori. And I'll tell you very quickly what we would do with it. And by the way, folks, if you want to write a check for $1 million and send it, you know, you can't do that today by PayPal, but you can send in a check and we will take credit cards. We would actually just expand what we're doing. We would continue our work with churches and pastors. We have over 10,000 churches in our network across America, in our Watchman network. We're working with those churches to establish culture impact teams. We realize that what we're facing in this nation is not a political problem. Now, we have a political crisis, but it is the result of a spiritual problem. in that as Christians, we have basically taken our hands off. We have retreated within the walls of our church. We have been intimidated, and we have silenced ourselves in many cases. In some cases, we've been silenced. But in most cases, it's been voluntarily that we have silenced ourselves. And so what we're doing is working with churches to equip churches, the people in the pews, the Christians, not putting something onto the pastor, but allowing the pastor to give his blessing to this, and then give the equipment, the training, the information to help those citizens live out what I believe is our Christian citizenship. Not only vote, but vote informed, and also stay engaged in the process. We would continue our work in educating legislators. We do, most people don't realize this, but we have a team here at the Family Research Council of about 80 people, many who do research, many who lobby on Capitol Hill, working with policymakers, helping them write legislation. Obviously, we also spend a lot of time killing bad legislation. And what we are is really the extension of Christians across America being their voice here in Washington, D.C., and in the media. We would, with $1 million, I would actually expand Washington Watch so that more Americans would have the benefit of listening every afternoon to policymakers and newsmakers firsthand, unfiltered by the liberal media, and find out how they can make a difference right where they live. Each one of us has a responsibility, an obligation, and an opportunity to make a difference right where we are, living out our faith. And we want to encourage Christians to do that. And as you've seen here, Lori, as you've had the opportunity to see some of these bold Christians who, in their walk, respective walks of life, who never sought the limelight. They weren't looking to make a name for themselves. They were simply seeking to make him known and live their lives according to their faith. All of a sudden, they ran into the hostility, but they didn't shrink back. And one thing I have found, these stories are hard to find. The media doesn't want to report them. We do, because I understand the power of courage. Courage breeds courage. And we want to start those brush fires of courage across America so that Americans, Christians, patriots will stand and defend our first freedom by using that first freedom. 866-372-7234, the number to call to get in on the conversation this afternoon. We've got a few more minutes here. Let's go to Missouri, where Charles is on the line. Charles, welcome to Washington Watch. Charles, you with us? Charles.
Oh, sorry. Appreciate your show and what you do. My question is, well, the political correctness and with the media, don't you think we've been brainwashed to think left, the social left in the community? Yeah, certain TV shows say that things should be naturalized, the modern family. You have mostly the left agenda shown on news broadcasts. There's so many things that you've already spoke about that.
Yeah, there's no question that when you look at the media, you look at entertainment, that it has been a subtle brainwashing, if you want to use that term, to just infiltrate us with this, inoculate us so that we begin to think through this political correctness. And one of the things I've long talked about is about how sitcoms in particular, humor flies under the radar of our detection. And so, you know, when you laugh about certain things, you know, and there are things that we would not accept, but you laugh about them, and it goes underneath our radar of the detection of what is acceptable and not. So there's no question that Hollywood has been using that medium to just saturate our culture with political correctness. Charles, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate you being a part of Washington Watch. All right, we're going to take a question from here in our audience at the Faith and Family Summit here in Washington.
Richie from Marco Island, Florida. Tony, my question is, what would you say is the primary cause for the loss of the church's influence in the culture in this country?
Richie, that's a great question, one that I've spent a lot of time working on, thinking about. I would say the loss of influence by the church has been self-induced by the most part. I found this when I was in office. It was very interesting that pastors tended to underestimate their influence and politicians overestimated the influence of pastors. And I tried to use that to my advantage because when I was trying to pass legislation, I used to call certain pastors to have them call legislators who were a little little hard to bring along. And some politicians actually think pastors get in their pulpits and preach against them. I only wish that were the case. It doesn't happen very often. But I think the church has just disengaged for the most part. Now, let me say this. That's changing. We've seen that. We've seen that in the last 8 years. In fact, we've talked about it on this radio program where our audience is predominantly Christian. And I opened the phone lines a couple of weeks ago and I said, I want to hear from people who have not voted in previous elections but are voting in this election. And I didn't think anybody would call. And the phone lines were lit up. There were people, the calls were stacked up with those saying, you know what, I've not voted before, I'm a Christian, go to church, just never really thought to get involved, didn't want to, didn't think how it affected me. But over and over, this is what I heard, that I registered, I voted, I participated in the caucus, I voted in the primary, because I realized that the policies that they're passing, the laws and the outcomes of these elections are creating policies that are affecting my children in our schools and affecting us in our home and our freedoms. And so because of the aggressive nature of this administration and what they have fostered and emboldened, even at the state and the local level, policies like what we saw in Charlotte, policies like the same thing in Houston, Texas, where the mayor there, an ally of the president, did the same thing, subpoenaed the sermons of pastors. People are getting it. They understand, and so they're starting to reengage and stand up and defend that freedom, and they understand that elections have consequences. So I'm actually encouraged. We're seeing a lot of movement across the country. And so we're encouraging people in this election, Christians, number one, to be registered, be voting, be informed, but do not vote out of fear and frustration. All right? That's one of the things we've been talking about. Don't vote out of fear that, even though there are challenges before us, don't vote out of fear based upon the statements that people are making in this election. And don't vote out of frustration. And a lot of people are frustrated because of what the politicians have not done. I know a lot of people upset with the Republicans who have overpromised and underperformed. As Christians, we should be voting based upon faith and reason. And what I mean by that is our faith should be the construct. And the Scripture makes very clear how we should select our leaders. Exodus 18, a great example of that, what we should look for in our leaders, men who fear God, who hate illicit gain, who understand truth and are able and capable. Those are the type of leaders we should seek and that we should put in positions of authority. And that's what we need to go after and not do so based upon this fear. And folks, by the way, if you've got, I know Wyoming, you guys have a caucus coming up this weekend, you can equip yourselves to be prepared for this election. Of course, New York coming up in a little over a week. The website, TonyPerkins.com, we have a presidential voter guide. You can download that. And we track about 12 key issues that will help you understand where the candidates stand on the issues. Well, folks, we are out of time for this Friday afternoon. Folks, I apologize on the lines. We did not get to all your phone calls, but I'm not going to ask you to hold over the weekend, but we will return on Monday, and I hope you will as well. Until then, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything that you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line, at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.